I went by there Saturday night intentionally. It was almost midnight, and you had about 60-plus people still congregating at the park. So I think if we're going to send a clear message, we need to do it early instead of waiting until, you know, months down the road to where we're not enforcing it. So I would like to see if the park hours are from sunset to dusk, and we need to enforce that.
Yeah.
And, of course, this was DeLaron Wiggins, City Council President, talking during the agenda review on Monday about the skate park and the hours. And you heard D.C. Reeves there a little bit talking back with him and, you know, having this conversation, which we talked about pretty extensively yesterday. Joining us now, of course, we have D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, great to have you. So, I get that this is a little bit of a, oh, what did we do? You know, like, we're kind of in the middle of the rollout, and we don't have a fence, therefore we don't have a gate, therefore we have low capacity for easy enforcement of closure of the park because we have lights on overhead, which is good because we don't want bad behavior and graffiti and all of the what's that comes with it. What I keep getting hung up on with this is it seems to me like if the kids want to skate, let the kids skate. Why don't we make the curfew on the park not dusk, but, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock? I mean, that seems to me to be a much more, like, user-friendly kind of approach to the facilities that people definitely want to have. Milton, by the way, is 10 p.m.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Those are conversations we had, as a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon. And, you know, I think really to back up here, you know, understand this is project's unique in its length of time from conception to reality. It, you know, was going to be controlled privately and then given to the city. Then it was taken by the city under a different administration. Now under a new administration, a new Parks and Rec director. The design began on Parks and Rec, moved to Public Works, where all our projects have moved starting January in 2022. So, no rationalization of why it's 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, but if I were to give kind of the general overview assessment, I think, you know, with a lot of different iterations of how this was going to be built and how this is going to be operated, you know, we probably lost a few things in the shuffle over the years. So, but hey, the buck stops with us, and we're going to figure out a way to, you know, make sure that we do the best that we can. You know, as a business owner in my previous life, I'm not big on posting a whole lot of rules that you can't enforce or didn't have the ability to.
Right.
So we're going to relook at those. And, you know, I've started a conversation with our folks about, do we look at a potential operator? You know, and there are so many different models around the country. Some charge per use, some charge annual, some don't charge at all. Some are 24 hours. There's so many different ways to do it that also have different situations. They might have a fence and we don't. They might have lights and we or not have lights and we do. So, you know, I think we probably could have done a better job of assessing this and looking at not just what the rules should be or what the neighboring town did, but what is our, I think we should mold those into what our unique circumstances are at our park, that where it's located and all of that. And so, we're in that assessment mode that it's really going to be two phases. One is going to be some of those quick draw things that, like you mentioned, do we just go to 10 o'clock? You know, if the demand's there, certainly noise isn't an issue. If you've ever been under that interstate, we know that.
Right.
I mean, skates aren't going to be any louder. But if we say no BMX bikes, for example, well, what some cities do is they have, you know, 2 days a week where you allow bikes. But to do that, we've got to have an attendant there in some way.
Right.
So, you know, those are all the things that you know, really, you know, probably should have been considered already. And again, it starts with me. So we're going to look at this. I think we're going to really break it into two buckets. One is going to be what can we implement in the next 30 days that and whatever, you know, massaging of rules, changing of rules and how we enforce, you know, and then as well as what the long-term, you know, health of the operation. I think there's a lot of positives potentially with an operator, you know, lessons and, you know, where you could really accentuate the value of having this park, you know? And so we haven't decided on that yet, but we're starting to, you know, have some of that conversation that brings us better value of having a park that's this nice. But I do want to say we aren't not doing anything at this point. We do have police doing foot patrols through there. You know, that's difficult to enforce full time for a police officer. But so you know, we had a conversation collectively yesterday, and I would think our goal is in the next week or so to at least know what those short-term changes are going to be.
Great. Yeah. And I mean, obviously this is a good problem, right? The problem is a lot of people like the brand new park. You know, that's the kind of problem that you want and they want to use it. And by the way, I had not thought about it, but you're exactly right. It's a great point that noise for the surrounding neighborhood can't possibly be an issue because there's no chance you're hearing skaters over the sound of the interstate, which is right there. You know, that's obviously that's right. But I guess, you know, my lean, and I express this on the air, but I just tell you directly, you know, my lean is, hey, let it be open. And, you know, maybe we find out if there is a limit on the hours that it should be open, but, you know, maybe try just a, hey, here we go. This is kind of how we're going to do it. Cause you've already said it, you know, you can't task a PPD, with enforcing something that's unenforceable, and you want to make sure that the rules make sense. And the fact that it doesn't have a fence around it, which I think is, I've been to ones that have fences. I've been to ones that don't. And, you know, there's aesthetic value in not having a fence around the park. I will say this. I like your idea of having somebody who might have a financial interest to be there, but please don't make it a charge for use. That'd be my one very strong, please don't make it a charge so that kids have to pay a fee to go use the park. That would be, I would not support you on that.
No, and, yeah, totally understand that. And we would not consider that. Now, it might be that, hey, as part of the trade-off, because, I mean, look, remember what the city's cost would be to have an attendant here. I mean, you're talking about 12-plus hours a day,
right,
7 days a week. I mean, that's multiple people. That's a six-figure, a strong six-figure number to be able to operate it.
And not at the times that are concerned, right? Not at the night times when there's the concern.
Correct. And look, we do this already, right? We do this at Roger Scott. We do this at other, you know, we have private operators who come in and say, hey, you know, if we have some financial interest. Now, what would be different about Roger Scott, to your point, is that, you know, the elements of this would remain free. But I imagine an operator would say, hey, look, we'll operate it. We'll secure it. But, you know, we want to be able to have lessons there with them charged for. Well, yeah. Great. I think that's a good thing for our youth. You know, I think so. Yes, I totally understand. And I agree with your point. This is not to privatize it, but how can we help offset some of the expense of being able to police? Because this is different. This is not building an amenity in a neighborhood that stays relatively passive, that may have a playground.
Right.
We have invited people to this the same way we've invited people to a day use marina. But what's going to happen when we open? 48 boats are going to show up. So that's where, you know, we probably had a misstep in saying, hey, this is different than just your normal park opening. This is, we are telling people to come here. We are encouraging them to come here, and we've got to be able to have a way to enforce these rules. So look, I think there's two things to keep in context here. It's not as if the, you know, our police, you know, 911 is ringing off the hook with complaints yet. You know, it's, we obviously see that some of the rules aren't being enforced, but you know, we aren't in a situation where we're being reactionary to, you know, a lot of legal complaints at this point. It's just the fact that we've got rules posted that, you know, are difficult and or impossible to enforce at this point. And second, we do have to keep in context, like you said, this is new. So decisions we make are in perpetuity, right, at this park. And
right.
So we don't want to overreact to the demand that's there now versus what we think the demand's going to be long term, although I do believe it will remain.
Oh, I agree.
You know, at the end of the day, we've got to look at those both ways.
And also, I think what I also heard you saying was that the city is exploring the possibility of building a BMX track right nearby so that we could solve everybody's problems, right?
Yeah. Once we get this one figured out, you call me about the next year.
I know. I'm just messing with you, but I know the BMX folks would be like, oh, that'd be great. Milton has one. Why can't we? Hey, one of the other things, you kind of buried the lead in your press conference yesterday a little bit, and you just mentioned it, the day use marina at Community Maritime Park. 2 weeks. Is that right? We're going to open this thing in 2 weeks is the goal?
Yeah, absolutely. That's our goal, shooting for the 24th or 25th. We'll have some more information out officially, but at the end of the day, this is a perfect example. I keep comparing the two because think about how many people are involved in a day use marina. It's going to be the port, public works and construction, parks and rec, the police department to enforce. I mean, we're even talking about potentially putting, you know, the Pensacola fire boat down there. I mean, there are so,
yeah.
Our meeting that we have another one today has feels like about half the departments in the city are involved. So fortunately we caught this one and have delayed the start of this. I mean, it is built, but this is something that we, you know, weren't going to open until we had a clear understanding of how it was going to operate, who's securing it, you know, hours, all those things we have now caught and, you know, are well on track. So we kind of have a check-in meeting today, and we're well on track to get this thing done and ready to go here in a couple weeks.
No, that's great, and that makes sense. You know, so you don't figure out that, what you did was a ready shoot aim. You're trying to make it a ready aim shoot, which I very much appreciate that. Last thing here, real quickly, is if you had a takeaway from yesterday's joint meeting with the county and the presentation by Dr. Savage about homelessness, what's the thing that you took away that you think is going to make a difference for homelessness in our area?
Well, first of all, if we're going to make a difference in homelessness, it comes from one sole function, which is alignment regionally. And I mean by the city and the county and our COC. I mean, because right now we all kind of have our own plans, all well-intended. And at the end of the day, if we want federal funding to help reduce homelessness here, which is the largest fucking money, maybe unprecedented, I know unprecedented so far, then we have to get behind the same vision, the same strategy. And that was my hope of when I, you know, leaned on the Interdepartmental Agency of Homelessness to come visit us. As I said, guys, that's what we need. We need that tipping point where we all can look each other in the eye, understand what the data says, and how we move forward. So I would say the biggest takeaway for me is not so much a data point. There was a lot of interesting ones, but it's more so in how do we now say, guys, we heard what they're talking about at the federal level. This is where the funding to help come up with solutions is going to come from. What are the one or two things we can get behind? We don't have to carbon copy the entire, federal strategic plan and try to implement it in 1 year. How do we get behind a couple different ideas here that we're just in complete alignment on? If we do that, if we're talking in a year from now and we've done that, I think that would be a huge success for us as a community.
No, I love that. Pick one or two things that you think are high likelihood of working, and you can get started on them and then, you know, adapt from there. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round for you, Mayor Reeves. I don't know your level of Star Wars fandom, but I'm going to presume it's at least average. There's a lot of vehicles, a lot of transportation, a lot of, spaceship. Do you have a favorite vehicle from the Star Wars universe?
I laughed to myself when I heard you talking about Star Wars a couple of days ago, only because I have not seen any Star Wars. I'm like that guy that as a point of pride.
Cut the interview. Cut the interview. I'm like the Skanska guy with Channel 3. Cut it off.
You want to play Oscar music?
All right, fine. We'll let you have the pass for now. Remedial education to follow. Are you a gift card giver or do you not? Do you think gift cards are a good gift?
No, only because I know the other side of it as a former gift card seller that I think the redemption 63%. So most
right.
People don't turn them in. So I feel like that people don't care about them. That's a good enough data point for me.
So it's great for the business that sells them. But
that's
not
the most educated answer I've
ever
heard.
That's a fantastic answer. Yeah, absolutely. And last thing is, on spoilers for movies or TV shows, do you care whether you know the ending? Do you like to know the ending, or would you rather be surprised?
Definitely rather be surprised. No, I'm disappointed if I get a spoiler.
All
absolutely.
Right. A little bit of redemption from the Star Wars thing, but you'll work on it, I know. All right, homework for Mayor Reeves. Mayor Reeves, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night.
Hey, I was watching football for a living. I mean, it's a three-hour game. So that's all my movie time.